Hello and welcome to the IRPP's Interview with the Author series. My name is Nicola Johnston and I am joined today by Ronald Davis. Ronald Davis is an associate professor in the Faculty of Law at the University of British Columbia. He was called to the Bar of Ontario in 1992 and joined the pension law practice of Kosky Minsky in Toronto. Prior to joining the UBC Law Faculty, he taught at the University of Toronto and the University of Western Ontario's Law Faculties and has lectured to the Osgoode Hall Law School, among others. He has won a number of research and teaching awards at UBC. Today, he is the author of a new study that looks at the security of employer-based pensions, published by the Institute for Research on Public Policy. Welcome, Professor Davis.
Thank you very much, Nicola.
So let's begin by setting this study in context. Can you tell us what happened in the cases of Nortel Networks and a BTB Bowater paper?
Well, actually, they both entered insolvency proceedings, but as far as the pension plans went, had quite different results. Abitibi Bowater had a combined deficit in its pension plans of almost $1.4 billion. And it was calculated it would have to pay about $158 million a year in order to pay off this deficit over 5 years. But if the pension plans were terminated with this $1.4 billion deficit, it was estimated the pension benefits would have had to been reduced by 25%. But it went through a restructuring proceeding under insolvency law, and in part of that, it agreed with its unions to halt all future accrual of pension benefits under its existing defined benefit plans and instead implement a form of target benefit plan for future pension benefits. It also reached agreements with the Quebec and Ontario governments to obtain special solvency funding relief that would have it paying about one-third or $50 million a year for the solvency deficit rather than the $158 million it would have had to pay under ordinary regulation. And this agreement seems to extend for about 10 years. So in the final result, the retired plan members will continue to receive their full pensions, and plan members who earn pension benefits after the insolvency proceeding will no longer be guaranteed by Abitibi Bowater assets, but only by the funds that are deposited into the pension fund.
So
as a result of this agreement to relax the requirements for solvency payments, the risk to the defined benefits earned over the past years remains very high, and if economic factors are positive, it's possible the $1.4 billion solvency deficit may be reduced, but only if the results are extremely positive. In the Nortel case, there's no continuation of the pension plan. Instead, as part of its liquidation under the insolvency process, the plan was terminated with a large funding deficit, and preliminary estimates indicate the Ontario employees will only receive about 50% of their pension benefits above the minimum guarantee provided by the Ontario Pension Benefit Guarantee. But for any other employees, I think there are about 30% of them outside of Ontario, they will have their entire pension benefit cut by 50%.
So what problems do you see with the current pension funding and governance regulations in Canada, and how do those affect the security of pension benefits that workers and retirees have been promised?
One of the assumptions that my study focuses on is the fact that actuaries vary their calculation of the cost of providing the benefits in a pension plan based on the types of investments in which the plan invests. Thus, the cost of a pension benefit in a plan invested in risk-free bonds with low returns will be much higher than the cost of the same benefit in a plan invested in higher risk equity or similar investments. The reason is because the higher expected average returns from that latter type of investment. However, the higher returns are provided to compensate for the higher risk that the actual returns will be substantially different from the expected returns. This results in a substantial reduction of the initial costs on the pension balance sheet, accomplished by treating the expected returns as having already been received. But if the risk of a substantially different return materializes, then a solvency deficiency will arise. The employer must make large extra contributions that it has not planned to make. And this sort of leaves the question, why do most pension funds typically have around 60% of assets in equity investments? One reason is that managers who are rewarded on the basis of the profitability of the corporation have an interest in having the cost of providing the pension appear as low as possible by using actuarial calculation of lower costs from higher risk investments. And the other reason, I think, is that employees would not be very interested in the benefit if the cost was based on the investment in risk-free bonds, because the benefit that could be provided by the contributions that are being made now using the calculation with the higher return equity investments would be much less, would be significantly smaller, and they would probably not be as interested in having that benefit as a pension benefit. So you could assume that the one more thing is that maybe shareholders would be happy with this risk-taking strategy, but ignores the fact that the risk is hidden from them in the actual calculation, in the actuarial calculation, and thus the price they pay for the shares may not reflect the risk they're actually taking when they invest in an employer with a defined benefit plan.
And you suggest a pension benefit guarantee scheme as an alternative instrument to ensure benefits against a shortfall of assets in the event that the sponsor experiences insolvency. Can you tell us about how this would work?
Well, most pension benefit guarantee schemes are supposed to be like an insurance scheme in the sense that employers would pay premiums to a central fund, and then if they became insolvent when the assets were insufficient to fund the benefits, the fund would make up the difference between the assets and the liabilities. I mean, the problem, of course, is that it's hard to determine how much the premium should be in the sense that you're trying to make an assessment of what is the risk that this employer will be insolvent, and then what is the risk that at the time they're insolvent, their assets will be less than their liabilities, and when you have no control over what kind of assets they invest in and so forth. The problems that arise in insurance schemes is what's called a moral hazard problem, which is that as soon as somebody is insured against the risk, they're more likely to take that risk because they won't suffer a loss, especially when it's a financial matter, not life and limb. And the other problem is what's called adverse selection, which is where only the worst behaving people will be part of the pension guarantee insurance, and you know, the better employers, the ones who are more solidly funded, will stay out of it because they don't want to subsidize people who don't take care of their sort of pension funding on a regular basis. The problem, of course, is that in Canada, the jurisdictions that control the funding and the requirement to be part of the pension guarantee scheme would be the provinces, for the most part, for almost all but 7% of the pension plans. And the federal government, if it's a national scheme, would be the one who is on the hook fiscally for backing up the insurance scheme.
To us about some of those challenges of implementing this scheme in terms of the federal provincial jurisdictions?
Sure. I mean, if you want to think about the Canada Pension Plan, it took many, many years of negotiation between the provinces and the federal government to come up with a scheme that was acceptable to everyone, or almost everyone, I should say. In this case, I mean, you would have to be some kind of agreement that the provinces wouldn't take steps to undercut the regulations about funding or the regulations about making premium payments in order to save a particular industry in their particular province that was in financial trouble. And I think the difficulty is that there is enormous pressure on governments to save industries that are in financial trouble, and they will do pretty much anything they have to do. And it would be hard for them to make a convincing commitment to the federal government. At the same time, they are not going to give jurisdiction to the federal government to legislate about plan funding rules for provincially regulated pension plans. So those are the kind of difficulties I see, and they're not overwhelming, but they certainly would take a lot of negotiation and the commitment that will certainly take quite a bit of time to implement, if nothing else.
And what about your recommendations for reforms to pension funding and governance that you think are needed before even introducing a pension benefit guarantee scheme?
Well, I think that I'll talk about the governance thing first. Basically, historically, the Employers Management acted as the administrator of the pension plan and hired the pension actuarial firm, determined the investment mix, and chose the assumptions from those offered by the actuary. And I'm suggesting that joint governance is a better model for pension funds because it recognizes that funding deficiencies will impact both shareholders and plan members if the employer becomes insolvent. And joint governance is also important to manage the conflicts of interest between managers on the one hand and shareholders and plan members on the other over the issue of the appropriate asset mix and the risk return profile that a pension fund should implement. And the other things I'm recommending is that we have to have a conversation about amongst the stakeholders about the risks and the costs of pension defined benefit plans before we get into any pension guarantee scheme, because I think that presently, these risks are hidden from many stakeholders, and so they see it as an absolute guarantee until, of course, their employer becomes insolvent. And what they should understand is that the important things that affect that risk are the types of investments that are being invested in by pension funds, but they also affect the cost of that or the level of benefit that you can get. So it is a balancing and a trade-off between risk and amount of benefit or cost of the benefit, and that people will have to face that at some point. And I think the thing that helps them face it is something called a target benefit plan, in which the employer makes a certain contribution, and that's the end of their sort of requirement as far as funding goes. If there is a problem with lower assets than liabilities, then benefits will be reduced for everyone, so that everyone will sort of be paying attention to the question of how much risk should we take and how much should be contributed to the plan to reach a target benefit. The third thing is the question of efficiency. There are a lot of small and medium-sized pension plans in Canada that are not getting the advantage that large pension plans get in the financial markets in terms of costs of investing and managing assets. And there should be some way for these plans to make a deal with the large pension plans, if nothing else, to have them manage their assets as well on a cost recovery basis or an almost non-profit basis, if you like. Right now they're paying a lot of money to private sector investment managers, and most of that money is eating up whatever investment returns they're able to get.
Thanks very much for being here with us today, Professor Davis.
Well, thank you.
Professor Ronald Davis is the author of a new study that looks at the security of employer-based pensions, published by the Institute for Research on Public Policy. The study is available free of charge on our website at www.irpp.org.